The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Like my trade idea for Damian Lillard, if he does ask out, Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle. Thybulle will be the best defensive player in basketball for years to come, within the next year to 18 months. He's already one of the 5 or 10 best defenders in the game. Tyrese Maxey, high upside offensive guard, and draft picks. Now Portland has Ben Simmons, CJ McCollum, they have Powell and Covington, and they moved the bigs for bigs who could shoot. You play 5 out with Ben Simmons as your point guard, and you will resemble the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, Simmons is going to have to get over his psychotic unwillingness to shoot. It's like something wrong with him. But that's going to be, we know that's the case. That's why it's not Simmons for Dame straight up. Because Simmons is an elite defender. Lillard is not. Simmons is 6'10". Lillard is not. Simmons has created more open looks from three than anyone in the NBA since he's entered the league. That includes Damian Lillard. Simmons, like, you think about Giannis. He comes down, like, when they play 5 out with Giannis, either you double him and he finds the open man, or he yams it on you if you don't double him. That's Simmons, but it's Simmons, you know, Simmons does that, could do that better than Giannis, you'd think. Better handles, better passer, better court vision. Right? I mean, he's 6'10". Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. NBA Finals Game 5. Now, the stat is, when tied 2-2, the winner of Game 5 wins the title 72% of the time. Now, think about this for a second. Do you really need a stat to tell you that? Do you really need, if it's tied 2-2, the team that goes up 3-2 has 2 chances to win the next 3 to win the title in the next 3 games. The team that's down 3-2 has 1 chance to win. So that's right there, 67%. But the team that's up 3-2 also has home court. So put that up a little bit more, right? From 67, it goes up another 5%, 72. Do you need a stat to tell you that the winner of Game 5 is between 2/3 and 3/4 likely to win? Is between 67 and 75% likely to win. You really need that. And by the way, 67 and 75, right? If you take the average of them, you're right around 72. You're 71. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst on Barton Hahn.
This is why you fight all year long for home court advantage. And Phoenix put themselves in that position by not taking the regular season for granted. Finishing number 2 in the West. Finishing with one of the best records overall in the NBA. They put themselves in that position. They established that culture at home. And this is why I feel like they're going to win this series, because they have home court advantage.
Well, I agree with that. I just think the Suns are a little better. Although, the only reason the Suns and the Bucks are in the finals is because other better teams got hurt. We all know that. The Nets would have surely smoked the Bucks as they were smoking them without even their big three. But then it was just Kevin Durant. Still, it came down to the final shot of Game 7 in overtime, and Durant just airballed it. If he hits it, that's it. No Bucks. Just like that. And had he had Kyrie and Harden available to him, the Bucks, come on. If he had both those guys available to him, the Bucks not only would not have won a game, they would have lost by an average margin of over 20 points. It would have been one of the most humiliating defeats in history, right? But Nets got hurt. The Suns were down 2-1 to the Lakers. AD goes down, they come back to win. No Jamal Murray, they beat the Nuggets. Maybe they beat the Nuggets anyway. No Kawhi Leonard, they still have to go 6 games with the Clippers. Now, Chris Paul missed 2 of those games, but they won those 2 games. The Suns did. Suns are only in the finals because the Lakers and Clippers got hurt, and maybe the Nuggets. The Bucks are only in the finals. Only in the finals because the Nets got hurt. That said, these were two of the two healthiest teams among the really good teams in the NBA. And then what happened? Saric goes down. And then Chris Paul's compromised. It looks by COVID, maybe something else, but he's physically not 100%. You could see it. Now, Suns do have home court. That's true, and that's one of the reasons I like them. I think they're a little better when both at full strength. Suns aren't at full strength. I still think they're a little better because of home court. When Perk talks about, look, the Suns played for home court, or tried for it anyway. They had the second best record in the West. The Bucks did something else, though. The Bucks used early this season, Budenholzer did. Instead of doing the same thing they've done, remember what I just said? If they built a team around Simmons the way they did around Giannis, the Trailblazers would get better. Doesn't mean they win a championship. It just means you can do that effectively, I believe. They used to win 60 games a year in Milwaukee around Giannis, playing five out. But they'd hit a wall, so to speak, in the playoffs. They build a wall against Giannis. And so what Budenholzer did is he used part of this regular season. They were going to take one step back to take two forward. They didn't initiate the offense every time with Giannis. It wasn't just Giannis going downhill and either you double him or he finds. No, they let Drew Holiday. They brought him in and let Drew Holiday initiate the offense sometimes and used Giannis differently. They were trying things. And I think Budenholzer realized that the criticism was correct. If he keeps, you know, getting knocked out in the first and second round, he's going to lose his job. And he should. So he wisely chose to work on things. The regular season's the fake season. It's like the preseason. The real season's the playoffs. And the Bucks used the regular season to work on stuff so they wouldn't be so one-dimensional. Just as the Suns, according to Kendrick Perkins, got home court, the Bucks became a more multi-dimensional team. So they both did things in the regular season, the preseason, really. That's what the regular season is. Oh, no, it's so important, guys. There are 30 teams in the NBA. It used to be 8 teams in each conference. 16 teams made the playoffs out of 30. That's over 50%. Now, 10 teams are still playing after the regular season is over in each conference. It's 20 out of 30 teams. 2 out of 3 teams are still playing when the regular season's over. Right? 2/3 of the league. Is the regular season really the regular season, or is it the preseason? And the real season's the playoffs. That's how it is. Sorry, I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you how it is. And these teams used that time, the Suns, they had second best record in the West and the best record in the finals, and so of the teams in the finals, and so they have home court. But the Bucks may not need it because of the adjustments they made using the regular season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, Richard in Manhattan.
Hi, Max. Max, the first four games, the Suns won their two games at home by an average of 12 a game.
Yep.
And Milwaukee won their next two at home by an average of 13 a game.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have now is a situation that's never, ever happened in NBA history. A seven-game final series with both teams winning at home only.
Maybe if that happens, that could happen. Has that never happened before, Richard?
Never, never. I looked it up with your producer. We were talking about it, and it's never happened. One year, the
Raj,
first
Richard produces
happened.
The show better than you, Raj. What's going on with you,
Max? The first in 2005, Pistons in San Antonio. The first four games went the same way that these four games went. The next three games, the road team won all three games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that has a chance of happening this time.
I think the road team could win out from here on in, Richard. I think they could, and the reason is. Chris Paul's compromised. Saric is out. That's Phoenix, meaning Milwaukee will have chances at Phoenix. I think that going back to Milwaukee, the Suns really Milwaukee was fortunate to win by the skin of their teeth. So it's not impossible for the Suns to win in Milwaukee, and in a game seven, anything can happen. On the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN NFL Insider making waves as always. Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen, Schefty.
Hello there, Max. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You've been busy as always. The Aaron Rodgers situation. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is really we've got 11 days till camp. And the one thing, well, there are a couple of things to feel confident in. Number one is he would prefer not to play there. though obviously he's not going to have a whole lot of choice this year. He doesn't want to play there, and I don't believe he'll play there with the 3 years remaining on his contract as it currently stands. And that's not having anything to do with money. I don't think that there's a figure they could offer, I don't think, that would entice him to want to stay. The question is, to me, in my mind, how can they facilitate his arrival now to facilitate his departure later on?
Interesting.
So that would mean to me, Max, like this. You figure out a way to reduce the contract so that they have to trade him after the year. And the way you do that is by putting in a enormous roster bonus that's due on the third day of the league year so that the Packers have to trade him by that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you make it such that the deal voids on a certain day, but then the Packers lose Aaron for nothing. And the fact of the matter is he is under contract for them right now for three more years, and they're not just going to want him to walk away without getting compensation in return for the reigning MVP.
Right.
But you've got a situation here where you've got the MVP, and in NFL history, there have only been two MVPs that have not returned to their team the following season, which is why this is so unique. And both of those were retirements. Mm-hmm. Norm Van Brocklin retired in 1960, the reigning MVP. Jim Brown walked away from the sport in 1965. There's never been an MVP that hasn't returned to his team because he was unhappy and didn't want to be there. And that's what we're talking about right now. And it's up to the two sides in the next 11 days and probably beyond that to figure out a palatable structure for both sides, because neither side is going to get exactly what it wants. The Packers would like Aaron Rodgers to come in and play and be happy. That's not going to happen just like that. And Aaron Rodgers, I think, would like to be traded, and they're not just going to deal him away right now. And so what's the compromise? What's the solution that gets him in to training camp or back into Green Bay? And the truth of the matter is, I think right now only Aaron Rodgers can answer that. But that's the situation as I see it 11 days out of training camp.
Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen. Adam, I want you to follow my train of thought here, because I have a question for you at the end of it. To me, it seems if Rodgers has the guts to say, I'm just not going to play for you, the Packers have to deal him where he tells them to deal him, the way AD got traded and Harden got traded in the NBA to the team that they dictated to their teams they must trade them to, because the agent just told all the other teams he ain't going to re-sign with you. So they're not going to give up the farm for that guy, and that brings the price down to the point where the Nets could grab Harden and the Lakers could grab AD, right? Well, if Rodgers does the same thing here, if I'm the Packers, I'm not going to get nothing for him. I would take the three firsts, the player, and like the third round pick. I'd take the monster package and you know, build around an already good team that just needs a quarterback, you know? Maybe you could even get a decent quarterback. Derek Carr, who knows? Some kind of a quarterback in the package. Who knows? My point is this. The only two reasons I could see the Packers not making that deal is, one, they don't want to set precedent, and they're willing to fall on their sword just to show these players who means who's boss.
Let me interrupt that one before we get to your initial point.
Yeah.
Precedent. We're talking about a guy that's won a Super Bowl in the city, who's been in the league 16 years, who's won an MVP. Like, precedent. Unique, so he doesn't apply like anybody else.
No, I agree. What I mean is, what I mean is, sometimes these teams, the team might want to say, we don't care what the situation is. We cannot let a player tell us to jump through every hoop like this, and then we do it. Yeah. So that would be one. The other would be, which dawns on me as time goes on, this may have a larger kind of impact on what's going on, based especially on your reporting recently or your ideas recently, is that the cap hit is just too big for they can't swallow it right now. So they could go to Aaron Rodgers and say, look, it can't be right now. And what I'm wondering from you is, but my position until now has been, as long as Aaron Rodgers has the guts to stick to his position, they will deal him to the team he demands. Let's say it's Denver. But listening to you and reading between the lines, because you have so much information behind the scenes, people talking on background, you're just plugged in, maybe it's the case that it just can't happen now anyway, because it's too much money that the Packers get hit with. That's the question. Is it would it be the team being stubborn about, no, we're the boss, or is it just too big a financial hit for them right now? Or if Rodgers sticks to his guns, will he in fact dictate terms?
I don't think it's financial at this point, because we got past June 1st, and so the cap number's lowered. And so if they were to trade, it's going to be a hit at some point in time. But keep in mind that you've got Jordan Love, who is the quarterback that they traded up to go get, by the way, okay, that they seem to like. So the financial component of this, Max, is not preventing them from moving on. I think it's just the stance of, Aaron Rodgers is one of the great players in NFL history. Aaron Rodgers has been an integral part of this organization, 16 seasons in Green Bay, just like Brett Favre spent 16 seasons in Green Bay, just like Bart Starr spent 16 seasons in Green Bay. No quarterback, by the way, has ever played a 17th season in Green Bay. But we don't want to trade him. And so, look, that's just, in my mind, a stance, a rightful stance at that point in time. Just like we heard the Raiders once say, we will not trade Khalil Mack. And the Jaguars say, we will not trade Jalen Ramsey. And I know this is a quarterback, and I know it's a different deal, but that's what they had to say that time. We're not going to trade him as much as he wants to be traded. Now, to your other point about Aaron Rodgers, yes, I've always felt that Aaron Rodgers, and I've said this time and time again, needed to get a little bit of mud on his hands. And he has not been willing to do that. I think he wanted the Green Bay Packers to be the bad guys and to just trade him, to do everything privately, which I applaud him for, because he's never really come out publicly and said all this. It's been coming from elsewhere. I just feel this. He doesn't want to be there anymore. He's told other people he doesn't want to be there anymore. Right? And so he could come out very simply and just say something to this effect, Max. I love my coaches in Green Bay. I love my teammates in Green Bay. And I love the time I spent in Green Bay. But the Green Bay Packers moved on. They traded up to draft a quarterback. And I'm at a point in my life where I want to move on. It's nothing personal.
Really interesting, Adam, what you're saying, talking to Adam Schefter on the Max Kellerman Show. I get your drift. What you're saying is it's not so much an issue of guts with Rodgers in terms of being willing to, hey, sit out a year. It's an issue of him wanting to not get dirt on him. He wants to be clean, the way like LeBron never wants to be seen as a coach killer, that kind of thing. And if Rodgers
to date, he's been passive aggressive about this. Right? They ask him on the match broadcast. We're going to see you against the Bears. We're going to see you on opening day. We'll see. We got some things to decide. They ask him at the Tahoe golf match. What's going on? Have you have a decision? Well, after this match, I'm going to go back and think about it and make my decision. He's never come out. What are you talking about? I'll be there. He's never come out and said, I don't want to. He just kind of keeps it going along. And that's what he wants to do. He's been passive aggressive about, in my mind. Now, again, go the other way, which he has been unwilling to do, may not do at all, and just say, look, like I said, I love my coaches, I'm not coming back. Sorry, not coming back.
Great Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, say it again, Adam.
And the Packers could say, well, we're not trading you, so you're going to retire. But as I said, you're going to sit on somebody that could bring that much in return for
you?
That's
what I'm
saying. You're going to have that distraction? You're going to have that distraction hang over your team all year long? Want that?
No. You're going to take the three firsts, the third, and the useful player right now. I mean, that's what you probably get for the guy. You're going to if Goff plus two firsts and a third lands you Stafford, you got to imagine Aaron Rodgers lands you a useful player, three firsts, and another draft pick at least. Like, it's a monster haul they could get for this guy. Why wouldn't they do it? Of course they got to do it. If Rodgers.
They've been unwilling to do that so far. And we'll see if and when that changes, if and when he doesn't show up. I don't believe he's showing up to training camp with 3 years left on that cut, with that exit. If that contract is in place, the one he has right now, he'll not be there. That's what I believe. Now, if they just didn't come up with something then, well, maybe he shows at some point in time. But I don't even know that will get it done. Maybe in his own mind he's decided, you know what, I'm not going back there. I don't know that. Right? We're waiting to see what he's going to do with this.
Adam, they're telling me they've been telling me for a couple minutes I have to wrap, but I like the info, so I.
That's too bad. That's,
you can keep.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You're like my drug dealer on the corner, and I just have to keep getting keep coming back.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry. It's a very interesting topic to me. I find it to be really, really interesting.
Of course, this is going to have ripple effects, probably unlike anything we've. Matter of fact, coming up, Adam, how's this for a tease? I'm going to tell everyone what the ripple effects are going to be. If Aaron Rodgers leaves the NFC North. Thanks a million, Adam. Really appreciate it every time you jump on.
Thank you, Max. Have a great day.
Adam Schefter joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up, this the year my Yankees will finally be sellers? What's this? No Doubt is next. It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good. Well, you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable network, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com. No Doubt's next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80. Ooh-wee! 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Know my favorite part of that song is, Raj?
What's that?
When Ghost says slot machines, ling, 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 when they ring off, right? He doesn't say ding, 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 or something like that. Ghost got the sound just right as a slot machine. It's ling, ling, ling.
Ah, he's right. I didn't think
That's
of it
right.
that way.
Ghost is on a different level. Anyway, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. To this day, no one gets more burn in my AirPods than Ghost. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we got?
All right, Max, your gazillion million spending Yankees will be sellers for the first time in years this trade deadline.
All right, I got a new one for you. Okay, ready? Hell nah, son! Yankees don't sell! Yankees, listen, this is not unprecedented. You're right, because a couple years ago, they were sellers at the deadline. And let me try and remember what they did. They traded Chapman. For Gleyber Torres and someone else, and then like signed Chapman back. Right? But it was worth it for the Cubs because they got a World Series out of it. And the Yankees, because they were sellers at the deadline, they rebuilt. But in this case, on paper still, the Yankees should be much better than they are. And sometimes I'd be like, you know what? It's a good thing to sell. Right now, I don't believe that. I think the Yankees, I look on paper at least, and still think they should be the best team in the division. They have not been. They got to get it together.
Yeah, you got to beat the Red Sox for once. That'll help.
Lying.
Hey, Will Ferrell, we got a birthday in the house. Will Ferrell, he turns 54 today. 54. Hey, Max, you got a favorite Will Ferrell movie?
Oh, boy, this is Will Ferrell's so good. Anchorman was great. Anchorman 2 is slept. Anchorman 2 was great. And I got scared off from seeing people like, it's not as good as the first one. And I waited to see it. And I finally saw it. I was like, what are people talking about? I was cracking up. Old School was great. Step Brothers was great. I don't know everything. I love Will Ferrell.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights was hilarious. Anchorman. I think the answer is Anchorman.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I'll go with that. What about you, B? What's your favorite Will Ferrell movie?
I think I'd probably go Anchorman, but it's tough. Right. I love Old School, too.
By the Old School or Old School 2? Are you saying Old School T-O-O or T-W-O?
What?
I didn't know they made a second one.
Old School. No, not Old School 2. I'm sorry.
Old School,
old school was great. I meant Anchorman 2. I meant Anchorman 2.
The original Anchorman is probably my favorite.
Yeah, the original Anchorman is great. I'm just saying, if you haven't seen Anchorman 2 recently, oh my God. There's some things in Anchorman 2, like I laugh every time I see it. Anyway,
I got to check it out. Hey, you believe Conor McGregor when he says his leg was injured before the match against Poirier in UFC 264?
No Doubt. Yeah, I don't think he's just going to make that up. It sounds like an excuse for sure. But, you know, Is it an explanation or an excuse? People legitimately want to know, how'd the leg break? And he's hearing people say, well, Poirier, you must have been on a, you know, he checked your kick. And if McGregor had a stress fracture going in, that's legitimate. It does not mean I think he has a chance to beat Poirier in a fourth fight. I think Poirier should be a 4-1 favorite at least in a fourth fight. But that doesn't mean that the leg breaking is not why Conor lost the fight. Conor was going to get knocked out in that fight. He's going to get stopped or submitted. Conor likely stopped. But that doesn't mean that that's like we're talking about just why the leg broke, not why he lost. The leg broke. Mm. Yeah, sure, I could buy that. Stress fracture.
You know what else I remember that from that fight, Max?
Huh?
Is after flirting with each other for over 20 years, you and Dana White finally got together and you covered that match.
I sure did. I sure did.
Look at you, man.
I sure did. All right. Yep.
All right, let's move along. Hit the music, B. Hit the music on this one. Hit the music. Woo! All right, waiting for the drop. All right, there's no drop in it. But anyway, hey, Max, you will watch LeBron's Space Jam this weekend.
I'm not going to Space Jam this weekend unless,
You don't have to go to my it. Eldest, you can watch it.
I know. My eldest daughter is at sleepaway camp. And my two others, if they're interested in watching it, I'll go take them to see it or order it, right? But but they may not be interested in seeing it. And let me just make sure. Is Disney making Space Jam? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hold on. No, that would be – wouldn't it have to be – who's producing Space Jam? Before I get myself in trouble. Do we know?
All right. We'll just move along from that one.
My point is, much as I love Looney Tunes, I'm not sitting through an hour and a half of some ridiculous, basketball Space Jam plot.
That's fine.
Unless my kids want to see it, in which case I'd be happy to sit there and watch it with them. That'd be fun.
Hey, guess what? We got some time. You generated some interest in your Dane trade possibility. Let's go to the phones, man.
Austin in New York. Go ahead, Austin.
Hello?
Yep.
All right, yes. So just to get to the point, yes, I think the whole proposal of sending Simmons, Thybulle, and Maxey to Portland is ridiculous because, one, the Sixers need to hold on to whatever defense that they can, and that's what Thybulle gives you, especially if you're going to ship out Simmons. Two, like you said, Maxey does have offensive upside, so we need to hold on to that. We need to hold on to these young players who we can develop and grow.
You might be right, but can I tell you you're the first person I've heard say, no, it's too much for the Sixers to give up? And I agree with you. It might be. My point is it's painful for both sides. When you trade Damian Lillard, it's painful for the side trading Lillard. And whoever gives up the stuff it takes to get Lillard, it's going to be painful for them. So I think I'm actually onto something based on the reactions. Most people say, this is too much to give up. And now on the other side, people are saying this is too much to give up. On the Sixers side, that makes me think maybe I'm onto something. By the way, the U.S. won some kind of a soccer game. Raj, is it pronounced soccer or soccer? I'm not sure. Is it a softie? Is it soccer? Huh?
No.
No?
Soccer. You did it right the first time. You did well.
USMT. I love their second album, by the way. Was in the zone last night. MGMT. What is it? In the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Coming up, I'll tell you about the ripple effect of Aaron Rodgers. Major League Baseball is on ESPN Radio. We got two games on our air this weekend. The Subway Series. Tomorrow, Red Sox at Yankees.
Ignore the Subway Series line.
Well, the Subway Series is Mets at Yankees. That's coming up. So tomorrow, Red Sox at Yankees, 7 p.m. Eastern. And then on Sunday Night Baseball, guess what? Guess what, Brendan? The Subway Series! Mets at Yankees, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. This MLB weekend preview brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Going to get to your calls after I explain the ripple effect of Aaron Rodgers. 888-CESPN, 888-729-3776, The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, motorcycle, and motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
See, most people, when they focus on what would the ripple effects be of Rodgers leaving the Packers, focus on, like, the Packers, right? Devontae Adams and everybody else, and it all fall apart or whatever. Well, they're going to get all the draft picks, and then they would be better in the long, whatever it is. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about Vegas, and I don't mean the odds. I mean the Las Vegas Raiders. Do you know what a predicament John Gruden would be in if Rodgers got dealt? Because it would be to the Denver Broncos, you would figure. Think about the AFC West for a second. The NFC West, we know, it's murderer's row, right? And I think Arizona's going to be really good this year. There's no soft touch in the NFC West. San Francisco, Arizona, Seattle, the Rams, it's brutal. But the AFC West? For Vegas? Here are the quarterbacks in the division. Well, let's do it another way. Who are the three most talented quarterbacks in the NFL? Number one, I'll answer the question for you. Number one is Patrick Mahomes. Number two is Aaron Rodgers. If we're just talking talent, number three could be Justin Herbert. They'd all be in the same division. The Raiders have to play all three of those teams twice. Oh, my God. To me, that's the biggest ripple effect. Would there ever be a collection of quarterbacks in the same division like that? Has there ever been? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Ryan in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, what I want to say is I think the Giannis block on DeAndre Ayton was a lot better than LeBron's block. If you have no context and you just looked at the play for play, Giannis is better. But with the context, and, you know, the perfect, the best team ever, LeBron getting that block in the last minute, I thought LeBron's was better taking that. It reminds me a lot of...
I agree with that analysis. I totally agree. If you take it out of context, if you're just looking at the level of not just difficulty but skill, Giannis is required more. But given the level of effort LeBron had to put into like the chase down block, you know, with a minute left in the last game of the season on the road, chasing Steph Curry, the unanimous MVP, who dished it to Iguodala, who was the former finals MVP for the defense he played on LeBron, against the 73-win Warriors team in the greatest comeback ever. The moment was too big. So LeBron's is number one. But skill-wise, it was Giannis. Lev in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, what's up, man? I wanted to pose a question to you because I'm a Knicks fan. I got a lot of friends who are Knicks fans, and I keep seeing posts of, like, Damian Lillard in a Knicks jersey because he's coming in free agency. And I'm telling them, look, why is this any different than when KD was a free agent? Do you think the New York Knicks can attract a A-list top five player with James Dolan still at the helm, or are they just going to avoid it?
I would say this. It's possible now. If Dolan doesn't screw it up, if he doesn't get in his own way, which is always a possibility, right? He likes getting in his own way. But if he just stays out of the way, it's possible now because the Knicks have something that has to be attractive to the NBA right now. They have a team that plays for each other, plays together. They work hard. The fans love them. And it's New York City. So it's not unthinkable that the Knicks could get a star now. It would be up to Dolan to stop that from happening, but you can count on, you know, usually count on him. He's pretty reliably screwing everything up. So, you know, we'll see. Dion and Baton Rouge, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max, the Eagles are going from worst to first. Their O-line's finally going to stay healthy. The Cowboys are an accident waiting to happen.
Okay. Who the Eagles are going from worst to first? I don't think it's the Cowboys. I don't think it's the Cowboys that you have to worry about collapsing. I think the Cowboys might be the third best team in the division. The defense would have to get so much better. The Giants are the most well-balanced team in the division. They have a real good defense, and I think their offense is going to be good this year too, like really good. The line should be better. Andrew Thomas was coming along. Nate Solder's coming back. You'd figure Will Hernandez eventually would be a useful offensive lineman. Their offensive line should be better. Saquon Barkley is coming back. And Kadarius Toney they drafted to go with Golladay, who they signed. And they have Slayton and Shepard, one of the better route runners out of the slot in the NFL. And they brought in Kyle Rudolph as the kind of like steady Eddie tight end to go with Evan Ingram, who is dynamic.
Do you got an offensive line yet? Do you got an offensive line?
No, maybe not, but it should be better than it was. So Washington has the defense, but not really the offense. The Cowboys have the offense, but not really the defense. The Giants might have both. We don't know what the Eagles have, if they'll have either. They could be a mess. And this has been the Max Kellerman Show for the week. I'll be back on Monday. Shanae and Golic Jr. coming right up. Until then, let me say perv.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.